Amen. It is going to be back, actually. Let's finish this series we're doing. 2020, we're going to have a vision. The vision is to see God do awesome things in this church, do things in our lives that's going to transform us. We started 2 weeks ago talking about impacting. And those that missed it, I did a teaching on hell and the reality of hell. But before I do that, time out. Hey, the newlyweds are back. How was your honeymoon? Tyler and Amanda, congratulations. Last Saturday, man, you tighten up. And now, by the way, while I'm stopping service, I might as well do this because Colton has been taking so many weeks off fixing his house. Would you mind, Lydia, Colton, you stand up? Would you mind real quick? For those that don't know this is very special. Not only was Tyler an awesome product of the church, but Colton and Lydia have grown up here in this church, and they are very special to us and this family, but they have decided that they are going to marry each other. And in May, so we want to congratulate them also. And you know what? Let's and you can have a seat now. I've been waiting for moms and dads to be around. I thought you or both of you. None of you have all been the same place at the same time. So I saw you. You're here. Too bad. We're doing it. And so, isn't it great that young kids actually love each other and want to get married still? And you think that's a joke, but it's not. The world we live in today, it's just much easier to shack up with somebody because the commitment's not as great. And things are going on. I'm telling you, God honors marriage. He still does. And I just love being a part of their lives. And it's awesome. So anyways, two weeks ago, we started talking about our 2020 and what our vision for this church, what we're going to be doing. We want to make a better, greater impact in our community. How do you do that? First of all, we have to have a heart and a compassion. Kenny did a couple weeks ago before that, a teaching, just pouring his heart out on how we ought to be more compassionate for people that are lost and saved. We ought to have a heart of compassion. Matthew 9:36, I've quoted so many times over the year, 20-something years I've been here. It's my theme verse of ministry. For Jesus was moved with compassion. He saw them as sheep like a shepherd, without a shepherd, excuse me, and he healed all that were there. When we can begin to see the heart of the people that we're ministering to, and you have a heart of Jesus for them, you'll have compassion and birthed inside of you that you want to heal and set people free. You want to be a part of the solution and not just judging and critical and being angry and judging their behavior. They're sinners. Do you expect them to sin? You know, we get surprised that we don't like their sin. Well, I don't like my sin when I sin. But imagine they live a lifestyle this way, but we can give them an answer of hope and freedom and joy in Christ. And so I did. I went through and I opened up a teaching on hell that day. Not a very popular teaching. There's people out there that believe in two other theories on hell, that when you die, if you're born again, you know Jesus, you're going to live forever with Jesus. If you die, you just die. And there's no eternal significance to your life. Others believe that there is no such thing as a hell. It is a place that was created for Satan and his angels, and it was more of a metaphor in our lives, but no human being will ever actually go there. And that's being a prominent teaching by the Emergent Church and about churches that guys like... it doesn't matter names, but there's a prominent teaching back 20 years ago. It was being taught by a guy on TBN, and thankfully they stopped him from teaching that pretty quick on the network. And then later on, another guy out of Grand Rapids, my hometown, wrote a book called Love Wins, and it's just a very prominent belief that God is how could a loving God send people to hell? Well, the greatest answer in the world is he doesn't. God gives us an answer to hell. It's Jesus. And we ought to be sharing that answer to everybody out there that Jesus is the one who saves you from it. He doesn't just save you from hell. He saves you from yourself. And that sometimes is awesome as Christians, that he saves me from myself. But hell is a real place. And real people are going to go, your neighbors. And we talk about complete, utter pain, darkness, gnashing of teeth. It's a real place. And we're not here to put fear in you, but it should drive you for compassion. It should drive you to know that there's people around you that don't know Jesus. And if they have consequence for our lives, and we have a chance to give them the hope of the gospel. We at Spirit Life have three words to equip, empower, impact, and we want to make a better impact in our community and saving souls from going to hell. Remember, last week we talked about being better equipping, and we talked the heart of this church is to have a three-part vision for our equipping, empowering part. See, I said, yeah, empowering part. And that is, we want to, on Sunday mornings, we want to do a better job, and I don't know if this is a great example, but this morning was a really good one, I think. We want to do a better job at honoring his presence. We talked about having less distractions on Sunday mornings. Not because, as I've shared this before, it's not because when people get up and do things, it's bad or wrong. It's we want to take some time for a season. And I don't know how long it's going to be. We'll work it out. But for a season, we just want to take the time to honor God's presence here. And honor His, make His presence the very focal point. And a great example is this. And it probably was, if you would have done this last week, Kendall, it would have been way easier. But last week when our worship was able just to worship and allow you guys, just all of us can join in and be a part of it, I felt just this awesome presence of God just flowing in this place today. And I want our leaders and I want our band to have the freedom to know that no matter where God tells them to go, they're going to go there. And this morning was a great beginning of releasing that vision about honoring His presence. We want to honor His word because His word in a lot of churches, as I said, I said this last week, and I know that Google, I forgot you guys got phones in Google, by the way. So Kenny's like, oh yeah, when you Google, when I said that you Google, I Googled this guy and got this guy's name. Like, okay, so I'm not even going to tell you any more names. But last week I talked about, I watched a couple sermons the week before. And I mean literally 40 minutes, 30 minutes, 35 minutes, and the pastor did not open his Bible one time. I couldn't go to a church where this is not the answer. This is the only thing that we have that is guaranteed 100% fault-proof and has no error. This is truth. His word is always truth. And therefore, in there, and so we'll get to that. And I shared a little bit about that last week about if we want to equip you better in the word, we want to be better good stewards. We want to be like Acts 17, like the Bereans were of noble character. They examined the scriptures daily to see if what Paul said was true. We want to be people who honor his word, we honor his presence, and then we want to honor each other. We talked about, which we'll be doing every Sunday from here on out, and it's an error that I made, and I'm taking full responsibility. I lean towards getting in the word, preaching the message. I get excited. When I'm done, it's like I just want to go. I'm out of here. Let's go. You know, that's just how I want to be. I'm out. I did my job. Let's go on. I preach the word, and I got to pick up my pen away. My wife will be mad at me, like, pick that up. But I want to get to a point where I get to preach, and I'm focused on that. And when I'm done, I'm done. But we're not done. And from here on out, we're going to set the clock back a few more minutes to make this as part of our service every single week that Kenny's going to get up here with an altar ministry team, and we are going to give a chance to honor you all and people who walk in here with needs or just need someone to agree with them, someone for prayer. Maybe they need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Maybe they need to get saved. But we are going to have a chance every single week to open them. It's not something we do it once in a while here. We had it all for a while. We say, hey, come on up during praise and worship. We'll pray with you. But we want to be more intentional about God's presence, about God's word, and we want to make sure you know that you getting prayed for is just as important as anything else we want to do. There is awesome people. The Laura Cottingham is going to help kind of spear this up with some of the other prayer teams. They're in, where are they? Are they actually in Scotland right now? They're in Scotland right now. That's awesome. Celebrating their 20 years, is it? Well, mom's over there. Mom and dad are going, yeah, 20 years. It's awesome. It's just so amazing. But we're going to have some others that come in here who we trust that will pray and agree with you. But that's our vision for being a better job empowering people on Sunday mornings. This is our weekly empowerment service. We want to empower you to go forth and to slay giants. And we want to do a good job of it. Our vision is that. So we want to better do a better job impacting the world around us, empowering you. But then we also want to step up the way we equip people. And this is going to be more involving our weekly during the week ministries. And these are things that there's a lot of exciting changes being done. But let's open up the Bible now first, because we're not just talking about the vision. I want to give you a lot of scripture why God's put this in my heart. Ephesians chapter 4. And we got a real problem this morning, by the way. We have an awesome young man doing the words, and this guy here forgot to give him my notes. So he is going to have to wing it as he goes, and I really want to apologize to you, young man. And it's his first Sunday doing it, even better. Great. Well, make me feel great, honey. Thanks a lot. Okay. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. And if you don't have your Bibles, we will have it up there shortly. It is my fault, though. I want to make sure that it is. We do not blame the computer guy today. But let's read the first few verses together, a while. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of vocation wherein you are called, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even you are called one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all, through all, and you in all you. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And when he descended, what is that? He descended first in the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And as he ascended, by the way, he left some gifts on this planet for us. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, in perfect man, unto measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth no more children, being tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by every sleight of man, and cunning craftiness, whereby we lie in wait to be deceived. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in him who is all things, which is the head, even Christ, whom the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by every joint, supplieth according to the effectual working and measure of every part, making increase in the body unto the edifying itself in love. Now, that's a lot of verses, and we're going to do a summary of this here. The first few verses in chapter 4 is dealing with us coming together in unity. The church must come together, one faith, one God, one baptism, one, until we all come together in the unity of faith. So today, my heart and my cry is that we become so unified that there's no backbiting, no gossiping, no slander. When someone offends you, forgive them. Go to your brother in love and say, man, I really was offended when you didn't call me back. You didn't, you know, I give people a lot of opportunity when they say, brother didn't text you back. I know I'm not really good at texting. I try really hard, but then I showed some the other day where I get in a meeting or something for like 2-3 hours, and I have like a text log this long, and I just forget about it, and I'm so bad about that. But I give you a chance to forgive me that way. But I'm just giving you a chance. But it's not an excuse for my poor texting skills. But the point is, we are all going to fail one another at some point. But we've got to learn to forgive quickly, love quickly, and honor each other in such a way that we stay unified. We stay one body. Then verse 16 ends by saying the same thing, fitly joined together. Every joint supplies one another. Why? Because we need each other. When you're going through a hardship, you shouldn't feel like the only person you can call will be the leader of that ministry. You should be in relationship with one another. We can join together and minister to one another and love you. That's the body of Christ. And then it goes on to say, which is one of these stories I love for Resurrection Sunday in chapter 4, is that before Jesus ascended, he descended. Why? He had to take authority back. For before he took authority back, he gave up his own authority. He gave up his right. He gave up. He became sin for us. Sickness came upon him. If you go through all the things that he did, he went to hell as a sinner, yet he didn't sin. Why? Because we did. And we needed a savior. We needed a substitute. We needed a sacrifice for our sins. So Jesus said, for 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteous of God through Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 says that clearly, that he who knew no sin, he became. He became the sin sacrifice for us forever. So he had to descend to the lower parts first. But in that midst of Romans 8 then goes on to say, and again, preaching Resurrection Sunday again. That's okay, it's all good. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in us. So by his Spirit, God's Spirit, raising up the lifeless death of his Son Jesus, said, he didn't sin. Let's breathe the life of God back into him. And as he became the substitute, the sacrifice for us, life came forth, and he said, I took the keys to hell, death, and the grave, and I overcame. And on his way, he said, I left you some gifts. Now that you're going to be walking the earth, I gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Why? To help you grow up in the Lord, to perfect you, to encourage you, and then our vision statement, to equip you. We are called into the church today to be a better equipping job. So if you go to certain ministries throughout the week, you will see a lot of these ministries, gifts active in this church. We believe in a full-functioning church where we have Spirit-filled ministries throughout the whole week that you can get equipped so you can get more empowered so we can make a better impact. That's the heart of our vision at the church. And the reason why I'm sharing with you, there's some new things we're doing throughout the year, and I wanted to share my heart with you guys over the last couple weeks about why God is calling this church to grow. Grow spiritually. Grow numbers. Grow where we can reach people more effectively than we are right now. And remember, the whole reason we had a leadership meeting about 2 weeks ago on a Saturday morning, and I started the whole meeting out. The purpose of this meeting is for one thing. The purpose these last three Sundays, including today, is one thing. We have to become more fruitful than we are. Period. I don't believe this church, after this is my 22nd year being here, I don't believe we're as fruitful as we should be right now. And some of that blame was right on me. You get these guys, these leaders around me, they're like, what do you want to do with this? I don't care. You guys do. And now I realize that they got more of a passion for growing this than I do, and you're going to watch things explode in those areas because I just told them, go do it then. Do it, because I'm not called to do that, but you are. And Amy, if you get to know Amy and Kenny on our staff meetings on a weekly basis, these guys are so fired up to get things done, I can't wait. They're going to start letting loose on this vision right here, and that's why we're coming to you right now with seeing these things happen. We're going to believe that God is going to grow this church in a way that we become more fruitful in our part. God's heart's to grow. We have to become fruitful. We have to be connected to the vine. We have to be so connected to Christ that our lives become more fruitful than they are. And the way we do as a church, we help growing you in that area by equipping you in these areas of ministry. So there's three areas that I want to focus on. I started out last week talking about the early church and how a lot of tradition has creeped in there. But the reason being is the early church didn't have a lot of this is the way you do it. You do 30 minutes of music. You do the message. You do all the time. None of that stuff existed. Tradition has built what Sunday mornings are more like than the Bible. Like it or not, it's true. I shared it last week, and some of you afterwards came to me and go, I never thought of that. That's true. Why? Because it gives you a template. Apostles teaching, honoring and worshiping him, and glorifying the resurrection of Jesus, and the fellowship of the saints. That's what we know. Well, how do you incorporate that in a church? Well, we take everything we know, we throw it together, and we say, this is what we feel God's called us to do, and we do it. And that's what we're doing right now. And so Acts 2 is a starting point last week. And I'll just quickly read some of this because I know that. But Acts 2:42 is the key to what I want to do, start a new area. Not a new area. We're revamping an area in the church in prayer. But Acts chapter 2, verse 42. I'm turning there as slow as I can, it looks like. All right, look at that. They even beat me. Okay, so we're going to back up one verse to Acts 2:42. It says this, and after this, well, actually, you know, we can't do that. Oh, goodness. Oh, my. This is after Peter just was preaching everybody after they did this. The day of Pentecost came, and he goes, repent. All you guys are the one that put him on the cross in the first place. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Verse 39. All right, for the promise is not only to you, but to your children, to all that are far off, even as the Lord our God shall call. This promise that we're giving you for salvation isn't just for you in this church. It's for everyone out there that we got to go reach. We got to go. We have to. And verse 40, and with many words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received the word and were baptized, and the same day were added to them about 3,000 souls. That's fruitful. They preached the word and fruit. We, as Kenny was sharing this morning, we've got to go out and learn how to be more fruitful. And then it says, but here's what they did afterwards. This is what Spirit of Life is going to do right here. And they continued steadfastly. What does that mean? They were committed. They committed to be around. They went to the prayer meetings. They went to Monday night. They went to Sunday mornings. They steadfastly stayed committed to what they were called to. Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship in breaking bread and in prayers. One of the changes we're making this year is exciting for me. So we make a little bit different emphasis for our Sunday mornings, where we want people to operate in the Spirit. We want you to be led by the Spirit. We want the filling of the Holy Spirit. We want the gifts of the Spirit. But we also want to know that on Sunday mornings, we want to honor His presence first. So what we've done is, instead of doing the encounter nights every quarter, we're going to change that to every single first Tuesday of every month. Why? Because it's going to be a night to worship in His presence. And then we have an open time for people to release words that God's given them. So as I told you last week, if you got a word throughout the week, rather than saying, oh man, I had a word and I lost it. You know what? Every one of you has two things in your house, I guarantee it. Right here. I know it's kind of archaic, but you know, I don't have my phone with me. But you also have these things too that have like voice stuff. You can actually speak into your phone and it can actually appear with words later. Or you can actually just type it in your phone. Or you can get on a computer. There are many ways to capture what the Lord is showing you. True? And then as you do that, you write that down and you ponder. And then if the word is really, just really, I can't shake this. I know one time, I don't remember who it was that gave the word. I think it was Diane. Had a word so strong that she said, I just felt like I wanted to release it. Was it on Facebook? Is that what you did? The Facebook page for the church. And so I encourage you. Maybe that's it. But there's other ways to release the word of the Lord. And on Tuesday nights, we want this to be an opportunity, not only worship. And I think our band is pretty awesome. They do a great job just honoring God's presence. But we also on Tuesday nights want to honor that. And that will be the first Tuesday of every month. The second Tuesday of every month, we're going to have a night where it is more intercessory prayer like it is now. They're going to come together and pray for our nation. Pray for the city. Pray for whatever our leader, Diane, that's right here. Whatever God is leading her as an agenda that week, and others come in there and pray, they're going to stand and pray for the needs of everything around us. That we're going to have people in this church that want to take a stand for what's going on in the world around us and be a lightning rod. That's an intercessor, to be a lightning rod for heaven to invade this nation, not just our church. Tuesday night's not focused on spirit life. It's focused on our city, our mayor, our president, our governor, or whatever it is. We're going to pray that God's kingdom would manifest in this nation, in this world. Maybe she has a heart to pray for another country. But we're going to let, so those that have a heart to join in there, join in. That's the second Tuesday. The third Tuesday, I'm going to be committed to helping out in some of this, so is others. But we're going to step up and have a time of word and prayer. And we're going to get together and bring some word about prayer, about things that are prophetic in nature, having more prophetic teachings. And if you don't know Diane, her heart is really strong in the prophetic. And so there's going to be times where they're going to bring a word based on the prophetic. I encourage you, be a part of that. If your heart is at all about being in prayer and the prophetic nature of how you're wired, get on there the third Tuesday of the month and get in some teaching. Because why? We want you to get equipped. Equipped so you can operate stronger in those giftings. You know, it's easy to say, well, I just read my Bible. You can, but it's something about coming together and learning from one another and getting greater equipped in these things. And the fourth Tuesday is going to be more like a Tuesday where when I get a chance to go down to Calvary Chapel with Tim and Shree, the church they have to do down in Florida. It's been such a blessing. As we want to get into a time where we have just church prayer, corporate prayer, praying for the body, praying for the church, praying for whatever God leads us to do, and we're going to have kind of an open setting where we just come in and pray. Well, if you look at this, Jesus says in Matthew 21, my house shall be called the house of what? Prayer. Prayer. If you read Bill Johnson's books that he talks about in the book that we did for our home group for the first, the two, what preceded Bethel's great rise and emergence of the miracles and signs and wonders that followed everything that they do in their ministry, they had started with a great prayer ministry. John Kilpatrick, and those that don't remember back in 1994 when the Pensacola Revival broke forth, they had a group of people praying, a small group, by the way. It wasn't as big as they want to advertise. We were there. I was there in 95, I think, or 90. I don't know. I was there shortly after it started. I went down to visit because I heard about some great move of God. It was awesome for a while. But you know what? People prayed. They prayed. They sought after. And then more recently, I preached this recently, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, 6, and 7. where Solomon was getting his to ready to open up this brand new tabernacle. And before he did, oh, let's stop. Before we open this thing up, Solomon spent that whole night praying. Lord, you said, if we do this, you'll do that. Lord, you said here, and we remind the Lord of what he said that was going to take place in that tabernacle. And as he, and the word says in 2 Chronicles 7, when he finished praying, the glory of God filled the place with their seat, and the priest couldn't even stand and minister. Why? Because prayer precedes everything we do in church. The word of God is priority, and that is always truth. But our response to it must be a people of prayer. We must be committed to prayer. We must be committed to praying for one another. We must be committed to praying for this church. And we must be committed to stand and praying for God to do extraordinary things, not just in this church, in our lives and our community. And so we're going to make some changes there. We also, so prayer is an awesome, awesome first step. The second one we talked about last week a little bit, so I don't want to, but the second area that we've got to be strong in equipping is always equipping you greater in his word. We always have our Monday night men's group and women's group. That's right, they both meet, don't they? Yeah. We have that. The women out here, men are in the back. They don't let us be seen. You know, if they come in the front doors and see a bunch of women, they're like, oh, that's not bad. They see us guys in there, they're going to like, they're going to turn around and hit the door. But we have a great time on Monday nights getting into his word and honoring his word. And we have other opportunities. This is where I told Amy and Kenny they probably should be doing all this stuff here, but throughout the week they do. But we have mom's turn, a time they study his word. There's just a lot of things that we want to do better this year, and we'll be announcing. But we have home groups where we take different topics and we study them out. We're looking at doing another class this year on during the summer, like we did the Chris Valentin, is it Chris Valentin we did? Chris Valentin class. We're looking at doing another class like that in 2020. And we're also starting a new course next year in January. And I want to encourage every one of you to commit to 2 weeks for me. Two Wednesday nights back to back in January, we're going to do a class called Rooted and Grounded. And it's something we're starting up next year. And it's going to be we want to encourage people who get involved in the church to take all these classes. You've been here for a while, I encourage you to get involved. That way, maybe you're hearing a lot of it now, but there's more to come where we get rooted in God's word and we get grounded in the church. We want to get grounded and rooted into what God's called us to. And so every person, if we're going to go out and win the harvest, and I'd say, I'd love to see 50 souls get saved just this week alone, but I want to make sure they get in here and they get rooted and grounded. It's one thing to win souls, it's another thing to make disciples. Jesus said, go make disciples. I want to have a place for them to come in this place right here. They can know they can be matured, they can be equipped, they can be empowered, so they can start making an impact in the people's lives around them. If we're going to do it, we got to do it all the way through. Amen? So I want to be a fruitful church in his word. 2 Timothy 2:15, one of my favorite verses, says, study to show yourself as one approved, a workman who's not ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. If we are going to properly equip people in his word, we have to learn how to study his word. You know, there's a lot of strange doctrines out there because they call it the holy flip, right? Oh, look. God said we can go kill that person. Well, we didn't read the context, of course. So, like, well, I guess we can kill people now. No. Read it. What they do? What are the consequences? Was it Old or New Testament? Was it in what category? When we just start taking the Bible like any book, and you pull things out of context, or you ever watch the news these days? I mean, I thought this impeachment thing was hilarious. I'm dead serious. We were in a hotel while she's getting ready because it might take a few minutes, just shortly. I was watching the news, and so my fun thing to do in the news, because I don't like to get too into this much. I watched CNN for about 5 minutes. I watched Fox News for 5 minutes. I watched whatever else they had there, and I go, these people weren't at the same meeting. They obviously missed the whole impeachment trial because this person said this, and it was totally different observations. And you know what's funny? As I listened to those few minutes on both, they never quoted the same part of the speech. Why? Because pulling things out of context will validate and solidify your point of view and maybe not God's point of view. So when we are not careful, we do it to God's word. That's why we have people who today don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. Why? Because they take a verse out of 1 Corinthians 13 that has nothing to do with it. And it says, when the perfect shall come, the imperfect shall die. And where there is tongues, they'll cease. When there's prophecy, you'll stop. Whoa. Only place in Scripture it says it, by the way. But how many of you realize the people who interpret that? use this as the perfect comes. Last time I checked, Jesus is the perfect one coming back for us. Jesus is going to be the one shining, coming through the clouds and calling the bride home. Not just, yes, this is God's word, but it's not Jesus. And so when Jesus comes, we won't need, I mean, I don't know about you, but when Jesus is coming, I don't even know if I'll be able to do tongues, English. I might be speaking Chinese for all I know when I get to see the King face to face. I don't think we're worried about that anymore. And that's why did he put it in that context? Because the chapter was on love. And if you read the first verse, if I speak in tongues of men or of angels and I don't have love, I'm but a clanging cymbal. Then he goes on to say, because when the perfect comes, the perfect one who is the epitome of love, the example of love, the life of love, when Jesus comes, love will be such radiant through him, you won't need tongues, you won't need prophecy, you won't need nothing but him. That's the same context of the scripture. But we take that out, we pull a verse out, and we have a whole theological dispute over something stupid because somebody wants to take something out of context. Whew, okay, slow down. My heart is that we become better students of God's word, and we as a church need to do a better job equipping and finding areas that we can equip you, being rooted and grounded, home groups, or whatever we might be doing throughout the year. I encourage you, make it a vision for you this coming year to be better equipped in God's word, in prayer and God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says this, and this is so powerful. This is one of those verses that everyone should memorize, but I don't want to butcher it, so I'm going to. It says, all scripture, verses 16 and 17. Look at how quick. Boy, these guys are good. Look at him smiling back there. You know what? You have a right to smile. Look at you. He's back there grinning like, yeah, I got you, buddy. I got you. All scripture is given. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God may be perfect, may be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, fruitful. The word of God, if it is allowed in your life to be inspired, to reprove, correct, instruct, it will make you more fruitful and more mature. Isn't that what we want? We want to be a church that honors his word so much that we become more fruitful in our daily lives. So we honor his word, we honor prayer. The last thing is you go back to Acts chapter 2, right where you just were a minute ago. I'm backtracking. And this is going a little bit from last week, but that's okay. Verse 43, it says, the fear came upon them. They all gathered together. And then it says this in verse 46, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did they eat their meat with gladness and singleness, praising God and having all favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This is my heart for 2021. That we become so united. That we come to not just, we don't just have Sunday morning church. We don't just have men's group and women's group. But we have a church that's so united in fellowship with one another that we are seeing people get saved through relationships. Bringing them in through relationships. People get saved because they feel loved by you. And you got to go make an impact in their lives by being more relational. And the last thing I want to see, not the last, but just important, when we see Ephesians 4, 1 through 16 pan out, it says that it goes on to say that we equip the saints. Why? So we all come together in the unity of faith. We've got to be a united church. If there's division and schisms among us, it's time to get rid of those petty things. If it's petty, let it go. If you allow yourself to get offended every time someone says something, you're going to be offended all the time. I mean, I could be offended every day if I want to. We've got to let offense go because I truly believe this, and I don't want to go through this long teaching because Mark will just jump up and help me with this one. He taught me this years ago, and then, of course, I started reading it. At first, I was like, I don't really like the way that came out. But then I realized the scripture actually said it that way. I'm like, oh, hey, I guess I can't get offended by that. But it says this. If you start reading through the Romans 14, 15, and 16, where it talks about different people with different convictions in you, it says this, that if you are offended, it goes on to say, those that walk in offense are weak in faith. Read it. It's really right there, I promise. Black and white, right there in your Bibles. That means when we allow ourselves to get offended, we've allowed ourselves to get weak in faith. We've allowed to have our faith gets turned into a person, or we start losing the ability to have faith in something over the fact that we allow ourselves to be offended. I'm telling you, offense will come. Jesus said himself, offense will come. We've got to learn to guard ourselves from it. Don't let division come amongst you. Even if someone differs in you in the way that they pray, then, you know, like one of the things that Scripture says is, do not use vain repetition. I'll get in a prayer meeting, and I'm not in a lot of prayer meetings now, I can imagine, but someone will just repeat the same phrase over and over and over and over again. I'm like, wow, that's really hard to listen to. But you know what? Why are we so worried about the words they're using? Why are we picking apart their prayer? Their prayer is to God, not to you. So why are we not at a point where we're more mature than that? And the way you grow up in the Lord is you can become mature in faith. And so as a church in 2020, we want to be a church that is better, making a better impact. We're doing a better job empowering you. But we also want to equip you in prayer, in the word, and in fellowship. The way that we're going to do that, and this is my conclusion, this is my closing time, then I'm going to hand this back over to Kenny in just a minute. 2020, I want to see this church become fruitful. And when I say fruitful is this. When it comes to equipping, I want to have a greater discipleship opportunity for everyone in this room. What is the greatest discipleship method? Sending them to a class or sitting at the coffee shop and talking to them about the word? We'll let you know there's one right answer and one wrong. And sending them somewhere is not the right answer. If you want to go out and win souls, you better be willing, and my part is this, that you're willing to go have coffee with them later and go over what the Bible says about their life. Are you willing to invest in people? Are you willing to make an investment in the ones that God is calling you to reach? And we got to do a better job as a church to not just win them, but yes, we need to win them because we want to be more fruitful there. But once we do, we need to invest into them. Invest into the word with them. And the second thing about equipping is if we're going to do really good at equipping people, we also better be more committed and faithful to what God's calls to here at the church. I want to see the participation level increase at this church in 2020, double what we have now. Double. If you're not coming to the Tuesday nights, and we're going to, every week for the first few months, we're going to remind you what Tuesday night it is so you don't forget. Oh, it's encounter week. Oh, it's prayer week. It's teaching. We'll remind you of these things so you don't forget. Or if you have a little computer, you know, those little things on your phones, they have something called calendars. You can put them on there too. It's weird. I know that if you put it in as like weekly, they copy itself every month. So you do. But either way, we're going to help you out too. But why not get more involved? Why not say, you know what? It would not hurt once a month me to go on a Tuesday night and just worship and release the presence, just enjoy the presence of God. I want to be there on Tuesday. I'm going to make the first Tuesday of every month a commitment right now. I want to be there. You know, I really would like to hear some more teaching on the prophetic and about prayer. I think I'm going to go the third Tuesday. You know, while I'm at it, corporate prayer would be awesome too. I probably ought to just commit to going every Tuesday. I don't care how you do it, but let's commit ourselves. If we're going to be a church that equips, you guys got to help us out so we have people to equip. And then you got to bring people with you so we equip them too. And then we want to get you in here on Sunday mornings. We want to empower you. We want you to be empowered by the word. We want you empowered by this worship team that's allowing the Holy Spirit to lead this group to worship. And I don't know, this morning was awesome, so I just say, was more of that. Amen? I just want more of that to come. And then the other thing we want to do with empowering is this. The last part of this that Kenny's about to do right now, you're going to get really sick and tired of hearing that same prayer every week. But you're not, because you're going to get excited over it because it's Kenny doing it and Kenny will add fire to it. But every week you're going to hear the same prayer. You want to get saved? You want to get filled with the Holy Ghost? You want to get healed? You want to just have someone agree with you in faith today? Come on up here. That's going to be the basic outline of every single week. We're going to try to make sure everyone has a chance to have this encounter with God themselves. Not just in the worship team, not just the word, but they have a chance to respond themselves in faith. And last, as we make an impact, we want to start seeing souls saved, miracles, signs, and wonders follow all those that believe, healings manifested. We want to see this church become more fruitful, making an impact. Amen? Let's stand to our feet and...